Amen. But in the midst of this week, sometimes the Lord just puts us aside. I begin to dwell on this story. It's not an Easter story. I'm assuming you believe in Easter. You came. And the resurrection, you came. I don't believe. I am looking for the Easter bunny, though. I've seen him pop out them Easter eggs with $50 bills in it. If I ever get that sucker, y'all, it'd be like Brother Poe retired. He found that Easter bunny. But this began to dwell in my mind, in my spirit. And this morning I was awakened about 4:30. Tremendous thundering. And immediately I thought, well, I'll go back to sleep for a couple of hours. And then I couldn't. And this got on my mind again. The story is a very strange one, but it's been preached about a lot. So this morning I want to preach about it. The master gave an invitation to come to a dinner. This is in chapter 14. And he told his servant, he said, hey, at supper time, he said, hey, go tell everybody that I have prepared a supper, and they don't have to bring anything but themselves. Now, how many of you like to eat besides me? Come on. I mean, if you're an anorexic in here, I'm going to cast that off of you. I'll tell you right now, I ain't no vegetarian. I like meat. Read Revelation, it says we're going to eat the leaves off the tree for our healings and revelations up in heaven. But right now I'm going to eat meat. And my wife is, you know, she's the doctors and all them people tell you, well, they told me, I guess they tell everybody, I don't know, you need to cut back on your red meat. Well, that only leaves a couple options. And chicken, as far as I can tell, they kind of nasty. You know what I'm saying? They just eat, they just pluck up in. And the pigs, man, I used to raise pigs when I was a kid. And you know, so I'm pretty sold on red meat. I'm just, my wife will tell me all the time, you need to eat more fish. Well, okay. Well, you know, that's fine every once in a while. But she'll say, what do you want for supper? And I'm one of these guys that, I don't know if y'all have them up here, but I watch, my wife don't even watch the sales. I'm the one that does. Because if Super One Food has steaks on sale, I'm going. In fact, I'm going to give y'all a tip before I preach. Here's how you avoid that you can only get two of them. Okay, you want the tip? How many gave in the offering? All you that didn't give an offering, you're dismissed. You'll never know the tip. But I've got a tip for you today. Here's how you avoid that. You circumvent. Everything is, you got to figure out a way, right? Where there seems to be no way. So I'm the guy that'll go up and he'll get 10 of those steaks. And the sign says limit per two per person. Or limit two. And the way you avoid that is, if you'll notice, when you check out two, it'll be like, say, ribeye $6.97 a pound. You get two of them, but the third one you have, if you check it out, it'll go back to original price. Now, I'm going to give y'all, see, I'm going to basically, in fact, Lauren asked me, how did prayer topic the other day turn into tariffs? It's because my brain don't stop. And China's fixing to bow at the feet of the Trump. And see how I've got off on it right then. Just don't buy no car right now, okay? Don't worry about it. Canada, I'm off on tariffs. Ain't nobody can stop this. we've been needing to do this. I'm tired of feeding everybody and caring for everybody. My God, let's care for our veterans. Amen. So, you know, I don't want to get off. Here's the way you do it. You check out two of them, bing, bing, and you pay. You stack them up, then you get two more, bing, bing, and you pay. Stack them up, get two more, bing, bing. Here's why. Because the computer reads two. And if it goes to three, that same computer goes, she just checked out three. That's illegal. So you check out two, kum, kum, and you close your account. And then you check out two, and you close your account. And the lady at Super One Foods stood right there and watched me. She said, I have never seen anybody do this. And I said, well, I used to be a thief. Now I'm just doing it legal. My wife said, well, how did you know to do that? I said, I didn't know to do it. I just tried it. If that other one had come out at $17 a pound, I would have told the lady, excuse me, I need to return this real quick. This guy gave an invitation to supper, and he said, you don't have to bring anything. You just come, and then you know the story that there were many people invited, but they refused to go. They said they had excuses. Now, the master, think about it, he's already prepared the meal. All he needs is the people. And so the people that he invited gave an excuse not to come to the mansion. I'm sure that those first people that were invited would have been arriving in fine clothes. But they probably owned wonderful houses similar to what he owned. Maybe they were the great names of the city. They had plenty of gold and silver. And they would have probably presented themselves very eloquently. They would have made grand entrances. They would have had grand discussions on their successes. And they would have made grand exit. They probably would have been such as the English do when the couples are invited. They come in, they announce their names. So that's a grand entrance. But they didn't come. And then the servant was told, as you know, to go out to a totally different type of person and get this supper filled. The servant, instead of going to the stately mansions now, he is walking down the streets of the town inviting people. So I want you to carefully go with me for the next few minutes and realize what was happening. We don't want to just overread it, and we certainly don't want to underread it. We want to live what happened. This servant that had gone to this one class of person that decided they couldn't come now is walking down the streets of the town, and he's turning down alleyways where he found those that were living in real bad conditions. He was inviting people in the alleys. Do you want to come to the mansion for a supper that's been prepared? Now, can you imagine in the mind of a person that's living in the alley this picture of a servant dressed in great attire, first of all, even coming into the alley, and then secondly, to invite this person that is in horrible attire to come to a mansion and eat. In other words, not just come and walk by it, but come inside, which he would have never been able to do unless he got an invitation. Everybody say an invitation. Now this man doesn't even believe the invitation. He believes that probably this is a trick. But somehow, these people in this alley begin to believe that the invitation was real, or there was a desire to go to the mansion that was built in. In other words, I don't like living in the alley. I don't like being a beggar. I don't like the way I am. But right now, I don't have anything to change me. I'm stuck being a beggar. I'm stuck being a leper. I'm stuck limping. I'm stuck being blind. And so now I have a chance. I have an invitation, and only an invitation. Now, my choice is to believe the invitation and attempt it, or act like it's a trick and just deny it. It's my choice. And so the blind man began to say, if somebody could help me, I want to get out of this. I got to be able to get out of the alleyway. Is anybody else going to take the invitation? And maybe that old poor guy that didn't hardly have any food said, hey, I'm going. I might as well try it. I'm about to preach, man. I might as well try it. And because as long as I sit here and listen to the invitation and don't attempt it, I'm going to be a beggar for the rest of my life. And I don't want to be a beggar. I done begged all I'm going to beg. I done pleaded all. Are you hearing me? All I got to do is say, I'm going to find out if what I'm listening to is real. And if it's real, then I'm going to be better off, because are you hearing me this morning? I accepted an invitation, and that invitation is either real or not. But if it is, I'm going to be different. If it is, I'm going to take advantage of it. If it is, I'm going to say, yes, I was a beggar, but now I'm living in a mansion. Somebody say amen. The only thing I have to do is move from where I am like I am. Just because I stand up don't mean I'm not a beggar. I'm a beggar, but I'm moving in the right direction. I'm still broke, but I'm moving towards a mansion. I know I don't look like I should be in a mansion. Oh, God, I'm about to preach. I don't feel like I should be in a mansion, but I got an invitation. And since I've got an invitation, the invitation is just an extension of the man in the mansion. So either I take the invitation or I don't. But if I don't, I'm just sitting here being a beggar. But if I do, there's going to be people laugh and mock at me that say, you can't go in that mansion, you're a beggar. But here's the difference between me and them. They're satisfied being a beggar. I'm not satisfied being a beggar. I'm not satisfied with my problem. I'm not satisfied with my situation. So I got to take a chance that the invitation is real. And when I accept it, then I'm going to go like I am towards the invitation. Somebody give him a praise right now. Oh, help me, Lord. And so I'm trying to be nice, but then, and so I want you to get the picture that from all across the cities, here comes those messed up people headed to one spot. Now, y'all think about it. It wasn't one person. The alley's getting emptied. And the people in the marketplace, where y'all going? We're going to the mansion. Who told you that? Who told you that you could be free from being a beggar? Who told you that you could be free from being a prostitute? Who told you that dragging your lame self up that hill towards that? Who told y'all that? And their only answer was, I got an invitation. Whew. I got a chance. I got, they told me that they wanted me in that mansion. But see, if they tell me I'm needed and I'm wanted, it takes me to fulfill the invitation. In other words, me can't just sit there and say, I'm glad I was invited. I got to say, get yourself up, me. Get yourself up and go get that invitation. Get yourself up and get out of your misery. How am I going to do that? I'm going to do it because I done made up my mind. No matter what it takes, no matter how bad it takes, I'm going to get up out of my misery. I'm going to get up out of my problem. I'm going to get up out of my... Because if somebody's ever been delivered, I can be delivered too. If somebody's ever been healed. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, yes, sir. Yeah. So you could be seated. Here's the thing about it. See, the servant doesn't even show them where the mansion is. He doesn't say, hey, follow me. He just tells them the mansion. So something invisible or visible drew them. The invisible would be the invitation. The visible would be in, I wonder what's in that mansion. Well, you can't go in there. Yeah, I know, but I wonder. I wonder what's behind them walls. I sure would like to get behind them. That's that mind that says something's in there. Why you know that? Because I see them going and coming. I see them going in and they're coming out happy. And they're going in and they're coming out fed. If I could just get some of that, man, I'd like to know what they're eating in there. Man, I'd like to know what they're talking about in there. But I'm a beggar. But now that invitation changes the world. It only changes the world if you want to change. It only changes the beggar if he really wants to change. Now, there's a lot of people that didn't go, and they had an excuse, the Bible said. It was like, well, no, I ain't going to go. I got some new cows, and I got some new land, and I got a new wife, and I got a... So there's always them. They always have the excuse. That's fine, bye. I'm going to take your place. Oh, can I preach a little bit? See, there's always somebody that goes, well, that apostolic doctrine ain't real. That apostolic healing ain't real. When they lay hands on the sick, that don't recover. Well, that's okay. That's okay. That's okay with me. Don't believe it. That's all right. But I'm going to take the invitation. I'm going to find out if it's real or not. I ain't just going to sit around and play with my problem. I'm going to do anything I can. I'm going to do anything I can to make... Somebody say amen. I'm trying to hurry. So all of these people are just walking through the... I think it's so crazy. They're just walking through the marketplace, and you know people are going, what's going on? Where's all these people going? They're all headed to that church, that mansion. What are they going up there for? They can't get in. I have no idea, but they act like they belong. Is it okay if I just preach a little bit? They act like they something going on because they all look. I done told three of them they couldn't go up there, and they looked at me like I was crazy. I told one beggar, well, you can't get up in there. That's a mansion. He said, I have an invitation. I don't know what that meant, but I know this. He didn't quit. Woo! He didn't turn around just because I said to, what I said. In fact, I think it made him a little mad and he went a little quicker.
Come on, somebody's always telling you what can't happen. We need people that know what's going to happen. Look at your neighbor and say, this is real.
You could be seated. I'm trying to. And so the servant disappears and he goes back and he just tells the master, he said, all right, we got a crowd. And look at them. They just coming in. The master says, that's awesome. The servant says, but we still have some room. And the master said, okay. Now I want you to go down there and get them thieves. Now you done got all them beggars. You done got the people that ain't got no money. That banker wouldn't come. That lawyer wouldn't come. Now we got people that ain't got no money. What is it about being desperate? Huh? Can I preach just a little bit? See, if you ain't desperate, you ain't never going to have nothing. You got to be something in you. I don't care if it's about a husband. I don't care if it's about money. I don't care if it's about a house. If you're satisfied, then you are satisfied. Look around. That's where you are. Now, I started off little. All right? I started off hardly with no money. And I made up my mind. I didn't like that. Mm-mm. My mom and daddy, beans for supper. Again. Now it's not. Now it's called beanie because there ain't many beans. There's just a lot of water. And my mama's trying to make me believe there's meat in there. Mm-mm. If there is, mama, it ain't coming out in my bowl. That's the reason when the Lord called me to preach, I was like, oh no, I ain't gonna be no preacher. Why? Because they broke. I told my mama that straight up. She said, God called you. I said, well, God, I ain't going to do that, mama. She said, why? I said, y'all was always broke. Y'all don't have no money. It was like week to week. I said, mama, I'm dealing drugs. That ain't week to week for me. I got money. In fact, I'm the one giving you money. I ain't going to be no. She said, God knows. You know, that's from last week. Lord knows, baby. Lord don't know nothing about that. You got to have something in you. So I can play 11 different instruments. Why? Because I wanted to. I wanted. Are you hearing me? Like my brother was saying, why you want to learn them all? Because I want to. None of your business. That's between me and me. Now I can learn none of them. I got kicked out of piano practice for playing Jerry Lee Lewis. I remember the lady, her name was Miss Reasons. And she come up in there and I was whipping that bit high back. Back in them days we had high back piano. And I was just tearing it up. I was a kid. She come walking up them stairs. She said, Mr. Poe. And I was like, see, we practiced on Christian music. And something happened. An amazing grace come down the stairs. She said, Mr. Poe, you've messed up. And I said, well, what? She said, first of all, where'd you ever hear that song? We didn't have internet. We had radios. Watch this. My daddy didn't allow none of that on the radio. So where did I hear that song? Something. Are you hearing me? Something just got up in my head. And I went to Burning Down Keys, and she called it a Mr. Jerry Lee Lewis, and I didn't even know who Jerry Lee Lewis was. Never heard of him. She said, but you're fine. You can't go. I'm calling your daddy. You're out. I was like, well, Miss Reasons, why are you calling daddy? I want it. See, if you don't really want deliverance, then you're just going to be in your issue. And if you want it, you will do anything to get it.
You will say, I don't care. I may look like a beggar right now, but God has invited me. And if I've got an invitation, I'm going to accept that invitation. And because that invitation puts me in a position to be different. And if I can get in the position to be different, then bless God, I'm going to take it. Somebody holler amen.
You could be saying, and so he says, I want you to go to the highways and the hedges. In other words, I want you to go get those old bad boys. They're living in ditches. On the bottom rung of life's ladder. Get that crook that's living on the highway, about ready to rob somebody. Get that drunk that's in the ditch. See, what you're looking at today, I don't say this publicly often, but I feel like I should after a week, is a guy that mixed up drugs and alcohol and suddenly got so paranoid that I took off running. And my girlfriend at that time was chasing me because I was screaming down the street and wound up in a ditch screaming, they're shooting at me. Get me my guns. And when the law came, they put me in a straitjacket, a real one. And for 3 days, I was in an isolated chamber in Longview, Texas, with no music, no newspaper, no TV, and no visitors. For 3 days, I was in an isolated place. I was one of those that was in the ditch. When they turned me loose, forever it reminded me, there's a place you can get in life that's so bad that you'll want to take your own life because there's no way out. You're in a ditch. Think about this entrance now. You've got thieves and drunks and crooks and prostitutes and homeless and people that are messed up, lame and beggars and blind and everything in the alley, and they're all going to this one spot. One spot. And if they can get in, anything in the mansion is theirs. I'm closing here pretty soon. In other words, if you get past the gate, all you got to do is enjoy what's been prepared. I remember years ago, there was a preacher asked me, he said, you going to come over, we're going to have a banquet. And I said, well, sure. And they all knew I was addicted. I've been addicted in some measure all my life. I don't care. Whatever. I mean, it was coke and crystal and marijuana, and now it's Bluebell. I mean, I ain't giving up Bluebell. I like ice cream. I guess you can tell. The doctor told me don't eat it. I went, okay. I mean, he's just a doctor. You know what I'm saying? Doctors, we don't like going to the doctors. They tell you what you can't do. And I'm paying them. It don't even make sense. Go in there and he says, well, how are you feeling? Well, if I felt good, I wouldn't be here. What's wrong with you? I wrote it on the paper. Y'all think about it. You write it down, he repeats it, and you go, yes, sir, and give me money. Okay, here's what we're going to do next week where we can raise an offering. Everybody's going to fill out a paper, what their need is. We're going to tell them what their need is and charge them $100 to get out. And we go back. Paying for their Mercedes and everything else. I mean, you know what I mean? It's like, I don't even understand it. They're practicing. That's why they tell you, if this don't work, come back. Y'all ain't got monkeys? Think about what I'm telling you right now. See how dumb we are? It's like the doctor says, try this. Try this. What did it do to the mouse? Tell me that. First of all, I want to see, did it kill the mouse? Did it make the mouse? The other day, a doctor told me, he said, here's what you need to take. I think this will work. This was a VA doctor. I think this will work. But it may cause dizziness, maybe drowsy. You may have nausea. We don't want you to drive. And I went, all I got is a sore throat. I can drink whiskey and get rid of it. If you'll just get me a script for Jim Beam. My wife, when I got out there, she said, what'd they say? Did you have the strep throat? I said, nope. She said, well, what'd they say? I said, he told me to go get a quart of Jim Beam. Drink it straight. Probably wake up 3 days and be fine. And she laughed. She said, Gordon Poe, you're going to go to hell. I was hoping she'd say, okay. And then if Jesus ever said something, I'd say, hey, doctor said. Hallelujah. But we just go around life and do what we want to do. Here are these people. I got to say this. When they got in the place, they didn't say, hey, I appreciate the invitation. I came, but I don't want to eat or nothing. I just wanted to see what kind of music. I just wanted to see what y'all were doing. I'm not going to sit down at the table. I don't want anybody to think that I'm going to linger here. We had that banquet, and my wife went with me. There's a totally different Gordon Poe when Sherry's with me. Her name's Sherry. I'm totally different. So if she gets to come up here, I'm going to rebuke you now. If you say anything to her about the way I preach, I will pray a flu on you or something. I have to be a totally different guy, you know. And I can't get down rabbit trails or nothing. And she goes to this banquet with me. And last thing, she's just almost like carbon copy of my mother. It drives me nuts. Last thing before we go in, she starts straightening up everything, you know, touching me. It's like, is your hair fine? Well, I combed it. I ain't got much left, you know. It's just like, I combed both of them. And she'll start with your collar, you need to straighten up, take your shirt, and then she'll say this, be nice. I am not going to ruin my night. I walk in and it's all pleasantries. Good to see you, Brother Poe. Great to see you. Real nice. Boy, we're glad y'all came. Thank you for the invitation. And we sat down and they had all this foo-foo china and little bitty forks that a midget uses. I don't know what they are. Two on one side, one on the other, spoons everywhere. I'm like, okay, I messed up. There's a big fork, a little fork. Here's a spoon. Here's a little spoon. I just need one. Is somebody going to eat out of my plate? They come bringing the stuff. The lady lays it all in there real nice and neat. Real big old steak. All this was real nice. I'm looking over at my wife. Then I looked over here, and here is a napkin. And I promise you folks, it looked like a curtain. I pulled that little gold ring off of it, and I looked at it, and I told my wife, if we can get all of these, we can make a curtain out of them. My wife kicks me under, you know, like this. I'm supposed to wipe my mouth with that? You're kidding me. And I felt real uncomfortable, you know, because I'm a plastic glass guy. I don't like them little bitty things. You have to fill them up too much. Then it makes you look like you're a glutton. And so I started eating and you know, sitting up straight. Proper etiquette, always turn the food away and doing all that. And pretty soon it's like, you know, I call it a workout because you're exercising. You know, and so they get down to the bluebell. And then, you know, rich people, they just give you one scoop. I don't know why. Little bitty thing and a little bitty bowl, just one little scoop of bluebell. And I'm like, okay, what happened? We just had a steak. Now we got one scoop of Bluebell and a little bit of chocolate syrup just running down the side, just a little bit. And the scoop ain't even full. It's hollow. I can see in the scoop. And I'm really freaking out because this is where I do my best eating. And now they've cut me down to an anorexic type thing, and that scares me because I don't want that spirit on me. That's the reason I keep, I eat a lot, because it's like I rebuke that spirit, I'm going to eat another bite. That's the way I look at it. Just like eat all that right there, and I'll keep that mess off of you. And so I ate it properly, and the lady said, Brother Poe, I see you do like Bluebell. And I said, I do. She said, would you like some more? And I'm figuring she's the one that probably scooped it. And I said, well, is there any more left? And she said, oh, yes, we have plenty. In my mind is, if we have plenty, why are we doling it out? And so I told her, I said, listen, I just feel such at home here. I'll just take care of myself. And so I walked in the kitchen, opened up the freezer, and sure enough, she had 3 half gallons of vanilla. And I thought, well, and I got the one that was open and looked in there, and there's a little bit more than half of it was still left. And so I pulled this drawer out looking for a scooper, and there was a scooper, and I just stoned. Did like this, and when I did this, it broke. I didn't know pewter was so tender. You know, they have different kinds of steel, stainless steel. You can bend some of them, but then you come again. Well, pewter, you can just snap it off. And I didn't know that. And I'm like, oh, God. Because that handle thing is, I've got the handle, and the other thing is in there. And I'm like, oh, my God. And so I pulled it out and looked both ways and washed it and laid it back in the, put it straight together, it just like that. And I went, well, that's an answer from God. So I just took the half gallon and went, squirted it all up with, and took the whole thing back out there. Because the Lord didn't want me to scoop anything. That was my present. And she said, my God, Brother Poe. And I said, the Lord supplieth all your needs according to his riches and glory. In other words, why go to a banquet and not eat? Why go to a banquet? And now I'm sure these people didn't say, you know, I enjoy being here, but no, they kind of, with no manners, with no instructions, not knowing anything, all they know is, in this mansion is everything I need to change. I've been eating beggar's food, but now I'm getting offered food that's beyond my imagination. I've been offered food that will sustain me from being a beggar in the alley. This, if I eat this food, it's going to give me, watch this, a taste of what I can have. Oh, Lord. It's something I ain't never ate. But if, as long as I don't eat it, I've got a complaint that I've never ate. But if I ever eat it, all this is going to do is tell me this is something that you can have every day if you make up your mind to have it. Am I getting this message across? In other words, I was begging when I came in, but now I'm going to eat like I was rich. I was a poor person when I came in, but now I'm fixing to get a hold of something that's going to change my life. I was limping when I came in, but I ain't going to be limping when I leave. I'm going to have a testimony about where I've been and what happened to me. Let me close. You can be seated. I thank you for helping me preach. See, when you've tasted it ain't nobody can tell you. Now there's do y'all have Bluebell up here? Oh, great. Where? we can get a fix before we leave. And I just tell my wife, it's just part of preaching now. They just feed you full of blueberries. Had some before I come up here. I've learned a new way to put things together in bluebells together. They're good. It's really good. I mean, it's not just vanilla. It's not just the chocolate. Brother Post experiments. I used to do it with Crystal. I failed chemistry, but I learned later. I failed it when it was in class, but I learned it in a bathtub and a mask. Pour it and run! And better shut up or y'all be trying it. My wife, trying to save a little money, brought this ice cream in one day called Dryers. Y'all have that up here? D-Y-E-R-S, Dryers. And scooped it up, and I should have known, scooped it up and gave it to me. Now, that never happens. She just don't scoop up ice cream. She come in and she said, well, I was thinking about you today. And I was like, oh, here we go. That's it. Now my wife's understanding I'm the boss after 40 years. Bless God, I was going to call my brother and tell him, I'm going to tell you something, this household, I run this sucker, you like, unlike you, I just got a bowl of bluebell. And I started eating it, and I went, okay. Have you ever seen one of them horses that does that lip thing? Boy, it'll make you pucker. I just went, whoo. Bluebell messed up on this one. And I called her in there. I said, baby, I don't think I can. You're going to have to drown this in chocolate. See, if you ever been a heroin freak, you love chocolate, see? And that's when I eat a lot of chocolate because, I mean, it's there. Me, when you walk by chocolate and you don't want it, something ain't right. Ain't nothing better than putting all the M&M package in your mouth and just letting it soak. Oh, my God. Then eat it all at one time. The sweat will just come out right there. It's like, oh, God. Except when you get stopped by a policeman, you turn around and go, hey. He goes, whoa. I said, what is this? And she said, Gordon, it was on sale. And I said, what is it? She said, it's called Dryers. I said, baby, come on. Look at the name. They couldn't even figure out what to name it. So one dude said, well, it's a lot drier than Bluebell. The guy said, that's great. I said, have you ever seen moi in anything that ain't named correctly? She said, what do you mean by that? I said, do you see me eating sour cream? They're telling you, on the bottle, sour. Whipped. That's cream. I said, well, take this mess. She said, well, I bought a whole half gallon. I said, well, bless yourself. I'm going right now. Super One Foods. I'm going to get me some. I ain't eating that mess. She said, well, baby, it was on sale, and I figured you would like it. And I said, baby, let me tell you this. There's a lot of things on sale. It don't work. It don't replace. See, you can't put bologna on the plate and then tell me it's a New York strip. Because I done ate. I'm on close. I done ate a New York strip. You can't put a Vienna sausage on my plate and tell me, Brother Paul, this is a T-bone. Because the problem is I done ate buying a sausage. and I done ate T-bone. Now, watch this. I can figure them out blindfolded. In other words, I don't even have to see it. All I got to do is look at or taste it and immediately tell you what's in my mouth ain't right. In other words, when I get to the real church, you can't tell me that other church has what the real church has, because I can't feel it. I can't see it. There's something in this church that's a lot different than them other churches, and I can see it, and I can taste and see that the Lord is good, is what the Bible said. Look at your neighbor and say, amen, amen, amen. So I got to hurry. So he the blind man, what I'm eating. And one guy said, this is the most wonderful food in the world. You'll never, and he starts eating it. And the poor guy goes, oh my. Now watch, they don't know how to use the forks. Watch, please, all you visitors. Those people didn't come in there with no etiquette. They didn't know nothing. Angel just said, sit right here. Which one of these forks do I use? Don't worry, just use that one. You just get prepared to eat, and I'll show, watch out. I'm a servant of the master, and I done this before. I've been to church before. I can tell you, do that right there, and you'll get this right here. Uh-oh. In other words, the servants don't just sit there and watch everybody eat and be helpless. No. The servants are telling the visitor, hey, this is what you do, and this is what you get. If you'll do this, you get that. If you do this, you'll get that. If you clap your hands, the Holy Ghost will fall. If you holler hallelujah, the glory falls. If you stomp your feet, the glory, come on. The servants don't just sit there. The servants say, I done this, and I know exactly how to do it. Come on, you're in the house, and if you... Look at your neighbor and say amen. You can be seated for just a few more seconds. And that's the reason I'm preaching the saints just a little bit. That's the reason when pastors say or evangelists say, we need somebody to clap your hands. And somebody's sitting there that needs some steak, and you just look at them and go, they do that all the time. When the servants aren't doing it, how can you expect those people that don't even know what's in the house to do it? Oh, can I preach just a second? See, one thing that attracted me when I got into church was all these people going nuts. What attracted me is also those dummies just sitting there. I thought, what are they feeling? Because these other suckers are acting like me on crystal. They're jumping up and down, hollering amen, hallelujah, clapping their hands, scaring the blankety blank out of me. I'm thinking the cops are coming in. How did the cops know I was even going to be here? There's a snitch in here. First time I saw him take off running, I got up and did like this. My mother said, sit down, baby. I said, what are we running from? I didn't have no gun in there. I didn't have no machine gun. I mean, I didn't have no machine gun. Well, I mean, you can't. Anyway, didn't have no gun that went tat, 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 tat. I didn't have none of that. And now all these men taking off running, and then a couple of women got up, and I was real nervous then. It was like, uh-oh, what? And my mama said, that's just they're running. I said, but why? And she said, because they love Jesus. And I literally asked my mother, why ain't these other people running then? And my mother said, excuse me, baby, you're blocking my way. And then Big Mama gets out there, my mama. I had a Big Mama. And Big Mama gets out there and starts running, trying to look like. And I'm laughing because Big Mama's like, and I'm like, my God, my mother's running. And then I thought, it dawned on me. Is this why she's always smiling? I thought she was on some kind of drug. She was. She was on the Holy Ghost 7 days a week. Are you hearing me?
Real servants of the Lord will stand and holler hallelujah and clap their hands and magnify him. Real servants will tell those that's never been in there, here's what you do. And if you follow me, there's something that's going to fall on you that is absolutely magnificent. Clap your hands. Holler hallelujah. Shake your neighbor and say amen.
You just be seated for a second. Man, this is a good preaching audience here today. And so that dude that ain't never had it, the angel just starts telling him, servant of the Lord starts telling him, try that right there. And the beggar's looking at him like, well, an angel, oh, go on, you're here, you might as well taste it. I mean, you can always say, I don't like it. But unless you ever tasted it, watch this, you have no opinion. Can I say that again? Unless you ever done it, tasted it, you have no opinion. Because you don't have anything to weigh it by. See, some people say, well, I don't think that's necessary. You have no opinion. I don't think it's necessary to put a cheese head on my head and stay out in 30-degree weather with a shirt off going, yay, Packers, and the Packers are losing. You gonna get on me for jumping up and down because I love Jesus?
It don't matter. I done tasted it. And when I got a taste of it, it was like, whoa, this is better than anything I had when I came in. This is better than anything I have ever tasted in my life. Come on, give him a praise right now. Give him a praise right now. This is better. It brought me all the alley. It brought me out of the byway. It brought me off the highway. It brought me out of the mess. It brought me, and look where I am now. Look what I did. All I had to do was accept the invitation, and look what it did to me. Look at your neighbor and say, look at me.
You can be seated for just a second. I got to go. So that old beggar, man, I feel the Holy Ghost in here. It's so good. That old beggar reached over. He's fixing the angel said, no, use it right there. Get that fork. Cut it right there. Yeah. Now taste that. That old beggar tasted it. Oh, my God. Angel probably said, you just don't know. See, how many people on the outside of the gates have cursed God? One time I was in a golf game, and one of them said that GD word, and I said, hold on. I like you, but you're cussing my boss. I did, and the man didn't know me. He said, well, what do you mean by that? And I said, you're cussing my boss. And he said, oh, my, are you a preacher? I said, no, I'm an apostolic. And he said, I'm going to have a bad day in golf, it looks like. And my buddy Bruce said, you done messed him up. Every time he'd hit a bad shot, he'd go way off and then come back. That beggar tasted that food. He poked that blind man. Watch this. He said, hey, I know you can't see to do what I'm doing, but I'm going to help you. Because I'm the one that, watch this, I was a beggar and I bought a blind man. In other words, I told my buddy about this. And buddy, I know you can't see what you're cutting, so I'm going to help you. In other words, you don't have to be an apostolic for 25 years. You can get the Holy Ghost this week and bring your buddy next week and tell your buddy how to get in here and get the Holy Ghost. That's all it takes. It's just one good sip and one good taste, one good old meal, and suddenly you can go out there and you can get everybody you know. Come on in there. You talk about an experience. It's more than an experience. It's a lifestyle. It messed me up. Somebody holler amen. So now you got all these people eating just a few minutes ago or a few hours ago were sitting there messed up. It would be nice, Pastor, if you could just walk into an apostolic atmosphere like we have today. Presence of worship and power and prayer. I mean, somebody's already got the Holy Ghost. Backslider doesn't come back. And that was before the preaching. I think I just said something about that the other day. That we needed to get to where people got the Holy Ghost before the message. And it seems like in 2 weeks we're pretty much getting there. Do you hear me? But here's where I want to go today is if you're sitting in this building and you are fighting a spirit. Now, do you mind if I tell them what you just told me? Do you care? Okay. Thank you. Last week, we were in this 2 o'clock question and answer is all it was. I'm sorry about getting sidetracked, you know. I do. I got so much in my brain. I just start in another thought. I go, oh, they need to know this. Another thought, oh, they need to know this. Another thought, they need to know what Donald Trump's about to do. They need to know why Biden did this. You know, no, they don't. Yes, they do. No, they don't. I just like, yes, no, yes, no. And I have time because I'll put economics in there, you know, about money. I mean, I study everything. I study, man. I study everything. I like it. I mean, I want to know. I don't want some banker telling me, well, if you do this, you could do that. Did you do it? You know what I'm saying? Did you do it? If he goes, well, I'll just, my answer is, well, I just, anyway. It's like I don't want no poor person telling me how to be rich. You ain't done it. And so 2 o'clock, I was over there and was talking and was answering questions, and they were elongated, and sorry for all that. But what was happening in there is there was such a spirit that does not, I'm telling this church right now, does not want questions answered. And when we started it, this young man felt something, not knowing what it was, and he took off towards the restroom because something was messing with him, and he took off towards the side, went out, because he had never felt that. In other words, sitting in a place where the Spirit of the Lord and the answers to the questions, a spirit didn't want him to hear no answers. Literally tried to get him to leave. He fought it off, not knowing what it was, and came back and heard the answers. But today he told me, he said, man, that was strong. I didn't know what that was. So what I'm getting to today is you can be sitting right here with all of this food. Deliverance. You could change your life with a few steps and some prayer. You can literally change your destiny from being on the alley with all of your troubles with just a few steps. But are you willing to do it? Because the reason this story is so powerful is that there were some messed up people that went into a place that was prepared, watch this, for them. But until they get there, it's just prepared.
It's prepared for whosoever will.
So I want everybody to stand. Because I don't know who I'm preaching to. Sometimes the Lord tells me. Sometimes I just preach. And are you wanting to just tell everybody that you got an invitation? Or are you really wanting a change? Do you like just coming to church on a Sunday and walking out and allowing this spirit to keep you listen, you can't tell me that when them beggars were there that there wasn't some thought that went through their mind that said, I don't deserve this. I'm just a beggar. The Bible says capture every thought that's in disobedience to Christ. And today I'm sitting here, standing here, looking at people that are in a place where there is deliverance and healing and salvation and repentance and a new way of life, a change that can change. I don't know if I can do it. Like I told her, you don't think about tomorrow. You don't think about next month. You think about today and let me live my life for 1 hour at a time. And if I can get through an hour, then I can get through another hour. If I can make it to that altar, then there's those that'll come into a place like this, walk right out. That's like a beggar or blind person coming and sitting down at the table watching the food. And the angel telling them, just eat that right there. And them saying, no, I'm fine being a beggar. You got to have me on this thing. We're going to give you an invitation. This is totally different for me. We're going to give you an invitation. They're going to be playing. It's going to be just like, you know, I don't usually use music, but we're going to do it just like we normally do. A little music and an invitation. That's why we slowed it all the way down, because now it's about you. It's not about me, not about the message, it's about you. I'm giving the invitation and I know what's here. I know, I've known since last week about this message. But now it's not about Brother Paul, it's not about, you know, the paper, it's not about the ink, it's about whether you won't change. And if you do, it's going to happen today. If you'll eat. Church, I want everybody to start praying. I want you to join hands with somebody if you can. And I want you to start praying out loud. I want you to start praying, because right now we're setting the table. And we're going to set a table that's magnificent. We're going to set a table of prayer. We're going to set a table that has everything everybody needs in here. We're going to set a table that has every need met. And pray in the Holy Ghost, Jesus. We ask you right now, Lord. We ask you in the name of Jesus Christ, the Savior, Lord, right now. That anybody that's here that has a need, the need is going to be met. We preached what you ask us to preach. We did what you're asking us to do. And now I extend an invitation right now. If anybody needs a healing, if anybody needs the Holy Ghost, I want you to step out, grab your neighbor, and step out and tell them, I'm going to the front right now. I've got a need, and I'm going to get that need met.
I'm not just coming to the church and just say I went to church, but I'm going to church with a need, and I am going to the table. Come on, throw your, come on down to the front. Just come all the way down. That's okay.